Shabbat shalom.
All right. So once I start getting excited, turn that volume down. I don't want to blow it away. You know that during Sukkot, Yehovah blessed my first class with over 100 students. And that was Old Testament. I had to really use the voice. And I really appreciate how Yeshua spoke on the Sermon on the Mount that day. Because that really strained your voice. But if you do that a lot, it's going to strengthen you. I just want to make you comfortable because the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, is the comforter. Right? Without the comfort, it's not the Holy Spirit. So what I've known is to give a testimony because I've met many of you at Sukkot, Youth for Yeshua. But a lot of you don't know who I am and I've just met you. But we want Yehovah to introduce ourselves to each other. That's how we discern things, right? From God Himself. And that's how I got to, meet great brothers like Dave and Wendell right away. And just that servitude together, revealing hearts. And if you're comfortable, you can call me Coach Ron. Coach means athletic teacher, and teacher's an office and a gifting. But it also means to me that I care about the athletes, the people that I train, whether I'm as a soldier or an athletic coach, and I do care about injuries and things like that. So, not the fullness of my testimony, but I've trained in the martial arts for almost 3 decades. And I was in Japan. I was trying to go pro in the Pride Fighting Challenge. That was an offshoot of the Ultimate Fighting Challenge. And not to get deep in it, but I know there's some youth and men that know about these things. So I'm at the top tier in the world. I've competed in 5 different countries around the world, trained in 6, trained with Olympians, professional fighters, UFC champions, those kind of things, combat, blade and baton in the Philippines, those kind of things. So I was trying to be the best. I got out of the U.S. Navy, year 2000, flew back to Japan to live there to try to go pro. I was in the nightlife. I was security at the nightclubs and just living that secular lifestyle, trying to be right in my own head and what I wanted to do. So one of the hard training, I was training at my apartment and my spine gave out. I had had back problems before, but I compensated by training very rigorously. I'm talking 10,000 kicks a day, 5,000 with 10 pounds of leg weights. Stuff you see on the movies, grabbing 60-pound dumbbells, running up flights of steps and coming down, and then doing that 6 hours a day, all kinds of training like that, grappling, throws, submission locks, punches, kicks, knees, elbows, everything that martial arts had to offer. I did everything my instructors ever told me and completed the workout. So, but this time my back gave out and I couldn't feel my legs. And it wasn't just a numbing, I couldn't feel my legs. And I was frustrated. I was walking in sin. I hadn't been to church since I was a little kid, and my uncle and aunt would give me a candy bar for going. So that's my motivation. Give me a Snickers bar. That's why I went. So fast forward 30 years, and I'm about 30 years old then, and I'm training, and then my legs give out. I'm alone. Still secular, and my girlfriend's not there, and I start to weep because everything's over, right? Everything I just went and trained my entire life is over. How can I be this champion going for this title? I haven't even started the pro fighting tier on that level, and my back gives out like this. And I started to weep, and I did the best prayer I could. I didn't know anything about the Bible, the Father, Son, or Holy Spirit. I just said, God, help me. And he healed me enough where the feeling came back in my leg. And then I was able to drag it. And I went back later, once I received salvation, I came back to Yehovah to understand why he progressively healed me. This is why. If he had fully healed me, I would have stayed in that nightlife. I would have stayed in those things. And that was a thorn at that time. It kept me humble because, the thorn in the side was a pride issue. Not to be confused with something that completely debilitates you. But I went to, and I'm security. You cannot be security in nightclubs without muscle. Because a 500-pound sumo wrestler comes in, you can't be like 120 pounds, right? Dallas Cowboy offensive line comes in. You got to tell them they can't bring their own bottles in. You got to look a little strong, right? So I'm starting to lose muscle mass because I can't train. I'm literally balancing on my legs. And I'm hoping, because they evil will attack you. If they see weakness, they're going to attack you. So I had to look tough and praise Jehovah that it was wintertime and I had coats. I lost about 30 pounds of muscle because I couldn't train. And then I had to get out of there. So I started teaching English in Japan. And then once I did that, he fully healed my legs. I used to wear glasses. I had astigmatism. He showed me wisdom how to heal that. Healing, gift of healing, rather than gift of miracle. So I had both, the whole package. And I'm going to reveal that in depth, how God does both. His healthcare plan is better than Blue Cross, Blue Shield. Amen. Give him a round of applause. It's full coverage. It's not one or the other. Okay? So we want to acknowledge all the scriptures. This is your inheritance. The word of Yehovah is your inheritance, the entirety. Okay? So if I have a chair here, I'm going to go back to the testimony. Let's say this is a corner table. I come into the house from work. It's night shift. Come in. And bang, I hit my shin there. And it hurts. Anybody banged their shin before? All right. So you go to God, you pray, and it hurts. You're crying. It hurts. Oh, Lord, help me. Heal me. He heals you and restores you. All right? So next day, bang, and you hit it. And then you pray. And you pray. You know, it hurts again. He heals you again. Then you can finally go to Yehovah and say, what shall I do? And he says, move the table. Yeah, meditate on that for a while, all the things we do that cause us injuries and sickness. And then here, instead of praying for the things to go away, how about it's better that it never happens? But we still have that health care plan. If it does, he's going to provide that too. So it's not one or the other. Remember the love of a pure father. So in Japan, I get healed up. And guess what I do? I get invited by this world-famous fighting gym. If you know the UFC, great pro fighters came out of the gym. They asked me to fight in this tournament. Okay? And it's the MMA. It has ring ropes, but it's the punching, kicking, knees. Go to the ground. You can continue. Very brutal. Submission locks, throws, everything. It's considered amateur event to the next tier because the referee is the pro referee. He's actually on the videos. You know, we have famous referees in boxing. So this guy's famous in Japan. So news coverage, magazines, video, it's all coming out. Where do I train? I train in a park by my apartment. That's unheard of. That's crazy. But I hear this voice. When to stop? No one's holding pads for me. You see Rocky in those movies and he's training real hard. Okay, I'm training by myself in a park. You know, and that's not normal. So I had the most peace ever. Then I get Saturday night off because I'm supposed to work night shift at the nightclub. I had done gone back, I guess, back to my own vomit, right, as the scripture says, because I was healthy. So I make my own decision now. I'm all healthy. I started having a Bible and started reading Proverbs, but I went back to my own vomit, and I had Saturday night off, which is near impossible, but they had security. I go in to visit them and, you know, have them, you know, tell me good luck before, and I find out the security didn't arrive. So I feel convicted, and I work all night, all night. Then I have to fight in a mixed martial arts tournament in the morning against a guy that had 3 fights. He was 2-1. This is my first one. I did other things like kickboxing, all these other things. But this is my first one. A little bit nerve-wracking when you don't have sleep all night. So I had all this peace on me, though. And the half hour I had at home before me and my girlfriend went, I watched the movie Gladiator. Okay, remember, I'm secular. I don't know anything. So I watched that. Then we go in there. It is energy in there. It's, you know, a smaller venue, but it is big in name. All the fighters, they have their size. They have the Pancration Gym and this gym. And our fighters and this, and you go up, it's 5-minute rounds. You know, forget boxing, 3 minutes. 5 minutes is forever. 3 5-minute rounds, okay? And then my friend Matthias, He's the striking instructor, punching, kicked at the world famous gym, former Swedish Muay Thai champion. And he's massaging my shoulders. He said, "How you feel?" And I'm like this. And I said, "Say something powerful to me, you know, encourage me." And he goes, "When you see him move, he's going to take you down. Hit him, bang, bang, you know, just move, bang." And I look at him like, I want a saying, give me something. I got one. And he's massaging my shoulders and I go, "What we do in life echoes in eternity." That's from the movie Gladiator. On video, you see my friend Matthias go, "Ron's going to get knocked out. His head's not in the game. He's about to fight this guy with 3 fights under his belt." I go in there and I just see him as my friend, as my brother, a stablemate. I'm going to hit him, but I have no anger towards him. We're going to have fun. We're going to, you know, rack each other. You know, and when you spar, those kind of things. Horse around, but very hard. But I had no anger towards him, right? So I go in there and I'm so relaxed. Everything went in slow motion. To me, he went, he tried to take me down, didn't work. Then even on the last hit, before I knocked him out, I thought he has a family. And I don't want him to have a bloody nose or a black eye, and it hit him clean. He dropped, got back up, they called the fight, and he was fine. And I cared about him. And all the Japanese, they don't care about brutality. They like technique. And they're yelling in Japanese language, "Sagoi, very good." And they raised my hand. My instructor, friend, you know, the old school commercial Mean Joe Green, when he takes his shoes and gives it to the kid for the Coca-Cola bottle, he pulls his instructor shirt off and he gives it to me. And he's like, "Whoa, that was the greatest fight. You just trained by yourself. You have everything it takes to be world champion." And in my heart, I said, "Then I quit." Because I had nothing to prove anymore. I was searching for a belt. I was crippled before. Who is this person that... Why did I get healed? And then, if you remember, 2002, the World Cup was coming to Japan. Big money, right? So in the nightlife, I'm going to get 4 times as much money. But I heard this voice, and it said, "If you stay here, you shall surely die." And I got scared, and I had to go. I encouraged my girlfriend to go back to Brazil. She's Brazilian. I'm going to go back to the States. It didn't matter. I had to go. I was terrified. All I saw was getting hooked on drugs and doing all this other stuff and just aging in the nightlife, whether I would have died from that or the actual earthquake that followed a few years later. Remember that? One or the other, I would have died there. And now, and then I went back to the U.S. I'm from Washington, Tacoma, Washington. And anyone that says, "Oh, are you surprised at the rain here?" No, I'm from Washington. So I reunited with my parents, who I hadn't talked to my dad and mother in 7 years, so just complete sin in that. But then I went to Florida, Fort Lauderdale. I'm working part-time at a restaurant, and I remember this. I'm taking out the wet, stinky garbage, right? I'm bussing tables, take out the wet garbage. So it's all wet, right? It's nasty, and I'm weeping. I'm so happy. I'm so happy I'm taking out wet garbage. I don't know why someone ministered to me, because I don't know why I'm doing this. Why am I so happy? There was no pastor around. I didn't understand. I was being drawn by the Father, as I know now. And I was actually seeing other people that said they were believers, like the one guy that he said, "Oh, come to our Bible study," and he's married. "I'd love to have you over." And then 10 minutes later, he's flirting with a waitress like that. Or the young woman that tests men, like if they like her, she'll invite them to her church and see if they go. And I actually wasn't flirting with her. I said, "Can I go to your church?" She was surprised. I wanted to go actually hear the word, and I didn't know. And then I find out she's smoking marijuana before she prays and worships for the kids, because she believed every good and green herb is from God. And we know this happens. So being drawn by the Father, I rebuked her. I wasn't even saved yet. Like, that's wrong. I don't even know God yet, but I know that's wrong. Then I go to Rochester, New York, because of the great weather. No, my friend, who's very close, like my brother, and he's researching his Hebraic roots. He was raised Catholic, but we go up there from Fort Lauderdale night swimming at his condo, and it was nice. And we're going to go up because, you know, he had the family business. His brother's up there. We have to take care of it. So I went up with him, and we're like Dumb and Dumber in the U-Haul. Frozen snot on us. It was so cold. The worst winter they've had, blizzard, in 12 years up there in Rochester. So I get to go there then. So that shows you that it was from God, because I wouldn't have gone any other way. But they're great things. You know, that's why I'm here. Long story short, I received the Yeshua HaMashiach as my Lord and Savior, confessed them, encourage other people to look around, because anybody could have had that honor, because I was ready. But they were intimidated. I'd go to all these Bible studies, and I was ready. And they kept looking, because this is a strong guy, and he's talking about fighting. And, you know, all they had to do is say, are you saved? And finally, like months later, someone got brave enough and said, are you saved? And I said, I don't know. And then I confessed. And it was that easy. You know, I was drawn. I was going to Bible studies, a lot of them. And I didn't understand the Word of God, the Word of Jehovah, that it says water, milk, honey, bread, meat. And I was hungry, right? I was hungry. I was learning. So when I saw cakes and pies and cookies, and I would eat that, and I gained 10 pounds at the Bible study. So I want to encourage you, that's all right, but, you know, discern that, the hunger for the Word compared to cookies and pies all the time, okay? So I don't mind a pancake breakfast with the men every once in a while, but if I'm starting to gain 20 pounds trying to study the Word with you, it's not producing the fruit that I'm looking for. We're going to work on the athlete today, and go ahead, open up the Word to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Okay, so we're on chapter 2, and we may have read this before about the soldier, athlete, and the farmer. Husbandman, those kind of things. So I'm going to read the entirety of that, starting with verse 4. Okay? All right, I'm going to teach you. Maybe you know Hebrew. I'm going to say mukhanim, which means ready. And if you are there, say ken. That means yes, right? So mukhanim is ready. Ken is yes. So mukhanim? Okay, sounds like they're all ready. Chapter 2, verse 4. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord Jehovah will give you understanding in everything. So that last verse, very, very important. Understanding of everything. Not the time, exact second that Mashiach's coming back, but understanding. This is a great thing when Jehovah reveals you can understand not just a lot, but everything through these three scriptures. So I started to meditate on that because I'm a second-generation war veteran, you know, and thank God for that. My father served 25 years, so I understand growing up on the bases. And then military, I study strategies. The athlete, the 28 years. The farmer I need to work on, but Brother Rick and other guys are going to bless me with wisdom and knowledge on these things. But I'm starting to understand seasons like Sukkot. So I'm starting to understand this, and it all ties. It's an amazing thing. So let's focus on verse 5, the athlete. So let's pray over this that we understand His Word. So, Jehovah, we have come in Your presence to understand everything as we research the Scriptures, Your Word. Impart to the people that they are not to believe anything I say because I have said it, that only because they have heard it from You, that I am an honor to be a servant and to have stewardship of these things. But they are not to worship one another, but to honor each other and to glorify Your name, that only the truth, not fact, will set them free. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. So the athlete. So, competes according to the rules. What are the rules? We think of not cheating. That is true. You can get that from the scripture. We don't want to cheat. What about the rules of the human body? When you take steroids, that's against the rules, the letter of the law, to You can't use that because it's enhancement, but it'll crush your liver in the future. It makes the muscle belly stronger than the tendons, and then you can snap those. You get too strong. It's not good for you. It was actually made for people with injuries so they can recover faster, but not for you to go lift a truck when you shouldn't be lifting a truck. So the rules of the human body, and I got to share that with Dave and Brenda, a little bit of the rules. The rules, let's say, no pain, no gain. That doesn't work in the hospital I work at. That's not even medically sound, let alone biblically. Now we are in obedience. Through suffering, we learn obedience. And we see these things that we're persecution and all those things. But what we're talking about is physical health. Okay? We're not talking about turning the other cheek. You know, that's pain. Okay? We want to understand what it means to be an athlete. Brother Stan, come on down. We got Brother Stan over there. Go ahead, take your coat off, sir, if you're able to. Like a game show. Come on down. You're the next contestant on the Scripture is Truth. Come on here, sir. Come on over on my side here, on my right hand. All right, I just met Brother Stan yesterday. We're going to go through a scenario, show you your value. All right. Anybody familiar with football, American football? All right, you don't have to be a fan, but you understand they get some pretty high salaries, right? They play rough. So Stan is the starting running back this year, first round draft pick. His salary is $50 million over the next 4 years, okay? A little bit of pay raise. I don't know how much you make, but usually most people, $50 million is all right.
No,
all right.
I ain't making that.
All right, so you got a pay raise today. $50 million. First game, Stan goes out there. And he gets hurt on the first play. We don't know what it is. He comes off. They bring out that table, the massage table. We get him on there. We check it out. We're not sure. So we go to the hospital. He has to have an x-ray. Stan's been training all his life, and he wants to play. Coach, to the point of irritation, I want to get in the game. Stan, you're valuable to the team. $50 million, we paid for you. That's a representation of the value. We x-ray. What knee hurts? The right leg. Okay, so what the two main people in an injury in the pro athletic field and athletics is this. The physical therapist and the strength and conditioning coach. Physical therapist learns from the doctor what Stan is allowed to do and tries to rehabilitate the injury. The strength and conditioning coach finds out what he is not allowed to do, and then we work on the rest of Stan. He still has to work his core, his upper body, the rest of his body. So, the physical therapist tells the strength and conditioning coach, Stan is not, he's weak on his lateral movements. He's rehabbing this way. But he's still very strong back and forth. So, as the strength and conditioning coach, I work him back and forth, and we do all the muscle groups. This is getting better in 4 weeks, right? He's at 40%. Next week, he still does that. He still wants to go in the game. I want to play. No, you're going to be on the sidelines in your tuxedo and be in one accord with the team. You're still a part of the team, though, right? You want to be out playing, but you're on the sidelines. Next week, he's getting stronger. Okay, on the news media, stands at 60%. We hope he's going to be ready in 2 weeks. He makes it to 90%. He's game ready. He's playing in the fourth game. Because of that care, that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and that training, he's able to play and increase his longevity as a player, a valued athlete. He's following the rules of the human body. It has to rest the injury. All you have to do is not make it worse, for one thing, and just keep taking care of yourself and go on faith and hope at the day and the moment and the time that you're blessed with a miracle. Very simple. All right? So I want to let you know, Stan, and like every one of you here, you're worth far more than $50 million. You're worth the blood of the Son of the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And I only use that example, as we know, analogies and parables of as a treasure hidden in the field or to sell as a pearl, because there's no words that can be formed to fully encompass the value of the price paid except that he was put on the cross. And we have to remind ourselves daily, renew our minds, our value. So, there is no if our Father in heaven wants us restored. Because I just met Stan, and I want his leg restored. But there is that fear. What if I don't get healed today? I know that feeling. So we have to discern the difference between the thorn in the side compared to what I've seen in the hospital, cancer, paralyzed, you know, these kind of things. But it's about encouragement. So let's give our pro athlete a round of applause. Thank you, Stan. Have a seat there. I'm on my ninth year at the hospital, Rochester General. It's number two in the nation in heart surgery, starting to get very famous behind Johns Hopkins. And I want to share something with you. If you want to pray for sick people, a lot of sick people tend to come to the hospital. I don't know why, but they tend to gather there. I don't know why. So a lot of sick people, psychiatric ward, injured, illnesses, all kinds of things at the hospital. So I've had experience with the Ruach HaKodesh teaching me, and I want to share one of the testimonies of one of the people there. She's laying in the bed. It's a mystery why her energy just completely left. Approximately late 40s, early 50s, and she can't move. I have to get a report from the nurse because we have to change her bed and everything. It's a mystery to the doctors. Her complete strength, she was good 1 week, and suddenly, boom, she can't even move except her eyes and her head. She's not paralyzed. She has no physical strength. So they're doing all these tests. I see her, and I encourage her, and she has depression and hopelessness, you know, these demonic forces all around her. And I come in, and I have to make her comfortable. And I say, well, I thank God for this day, and I'm believing in faith that this is going to change. She doesn't know. She's laying there, but she has to listen. She can't go away. So, but it's caring. Even if she's not a believer, she can tell the care. I'm not pressing on her, but I'm speaking things here and causing the demons to flee. Guess what happens in like 3 days later? I go in and she has the colored resistance bands on the side of the bed, right? So what does that mean? She's been exercising like this. She's laying on her back and she's doing nothing but a band. I go in there and she's like, oh, I started the band training. I said, yeah, I see that. What can you do? Oh, not much. And I said, well, what do you do? And she can raise, she's on her back and she can raise to here. So I make it the biggest event in her life. That's awesome. You weren't able to do that before. I thank God for that. And she starts getting pumped up before the game, right? It's not all, it's all right, bring it. What's next? What's tomorrow? 2 days later. Oh, coach, I can bring my arm above my head. And it's exciting. So she, what's she doing when I'm not there? I spoke life into her, keep encouragement, gift of exhortation. So she keeps working. And it doesn't matter the problem. She, for that moment, she forgets about the problem and works on what she can offer. Now, she's not saved. You're saved. Remember, you are saved. You have preference. You were there. You confessed the truth. That is to draw her to the Son. You're already there, so you get more. But this is the thing. We get hopelessness and attacks when it doesn't happen, and there's a mystery. I've been there. You've been there. You prayed. Oh, what if it doesn't work? Instead of, I'm already saved. I'm going to keep doing my offering to Yehovah every day. Oh, I can do curls. My legs don't work yet, but I'm going to do curls. Blood offering. Life's in the blood. We're going to go over that. So that attitude of the pro athlete that's on the sideline that wants to get in on the game and follow the rules and the body's hurt. I want to be in, coach. You guys are in the game. It doesn't matter if you're on the sidelines. You're still on the team. Ziklag, the city that was given to King David and his mighty men, was burned down when David and his mighty men came back. Very sad moment, correct? So sad, they got angry and they were going to stone David. Then he put on the chest plate and he prayed, and they wept for their family, the wife and children, and all the wealth was gone. It was burned down to the ground. They're on the sidelines. It's hopelessness. Gets the word, go and get it back. Then, here's the big thing. Excuse me, Yehovah, for the numbers. If I'm off, please correct me later. 400 mighty men, there's 300. But at this time, I believe it increased to 400. 100 were too tired to go. When you read that, think about that. Your wife and children are out there, everything got burned, and you're going to say to King David, I'm too tired to go. But King David did this. Rest. Because if you need to be on the sidelines, it's still going to be taken care of. If King David went alone, he's not alone. Because the King of the universe is with him. So understand this. If you're tired and you need to rest, Gideon's army got whittled down to it. It's still going to be taken care of. Don't feel condemned. If you have a spirit of slothfulness, that's different. But these were men of God that were exhausted. It would be better they did not go to get injured. Because if you always read, how many went out? 300 went out to fight. How many came back? 300. Okay? It's not, oh, we lost a man or a division or whatever. That was perfect fighting. So if you're tired, then rest. How many pastors have I ministered to on their back in the hospital? They need to learn about the Holy Shabbat. And I said, it's great you're on your back because the only way you can look is up now. And they laugh like that. It's a good time to pray. Time to rest, sir. And I want to encourage them. I'm not here to make them know that the Holy Shabbat's on the seventh day, which we know it is. But encourage them. Well, you can take a Shabbat different days. There's holidays. Elijah had a Shabbat after Jezebel. You remember he went to sleep, woke up, cistern of water, hot cakes on rock. Went back to sleep. It was 5-star hotel treatment. Woke up, slept again. You know those days that you feel real good, get restored? But if you want the full blessing on the seventh day, then you encourage. So instead of being attacked under the law, here's the spirit of the law. God wants you fully restored. And then you encourage them to the Hebraic roots without condemning them. So that's how I got to learn. So understand, when you're on the sidelines, you can be banged up, but you're still the pro athlete. You're valuable. Everyone in here. Now, let's understand the thorn in the side. How many people in here know that I can't straighten my arm out? I have a 20-degree bend. The Youth for Yeshua, did you guys know that? No, know it now, right? So when I did all these demos with the sword of the Spirit, with my thorn in my side here, you didn't know, right? Did that take away from my functionality? It actually made my left arm better. From this, which you don't want someone swinging, I had to train my left arm. Ambidextrous. King and Tribe of Benjamin came over to train David's mighty men. They were ambidextrous in the bow, even on horseback and slinging stone. That's another sermon. But, thorn in the side. Prayed 3 times, the apostle Shaul wouldn't heal it, but Jehovah explained to him why. Same thing. I prayed 3 times, he wouldn't heal it. Remember, I was crippled before. He healed that. Actually, I almost went blind, and when I had a ring, I said, Lord, I can't take this anymore, and he healed it. But I got this. Irritating. Played tag with the kids. Running, I almost touch him. I'm like, oh, no, I can't reach it. Okay? Reach for something. There's a bone nub, so when it broke, it didn't heal right. So, a couple years ago, after this happened, I trained this young man in kickboxing. I was led at a church. And he kept saying, all the other people, they didn't know my skill. And I started warming up on the bag to spar with my student that's going to go for his kickboxing match or Thai boxing rules. And they said, oh, wow, we want to see you fight. You know, when you do a fake kick up here and side kick there, boom, boom, boom. And they want to see that. And I get tempted because that rush of going in to be in a fight and the people are cheering and you go to entrance music, you're on the marquee. It's addicting. But I needed to remember what I'm doing. What is it worth? So this reminds me, because if I went to practice with the MMA guys, mixed martial arts, the cage fighters, someone might accidentally straighten out my arm, not in a biblical way. They'll go snap. And it humbles me, because the most important thing is when I'm training the little kids and we're counting to 3 in Hebrew, and we're saying Mukadim and Ken, and they're getting raised up as young soldiers and caring, and they're knowing the name of Mashiach, and that they're protected and cared for, because when I stand before God, He doesn't care that I made military history in jiu-jitsu. I was the first team captain. He doesn't care that I trained in all these pro gyms. He doesn't care all these professional fighters. He doesn't care I had a picture with Billy Blanks of a Taibo aerobics, and he had a Jerry Curl and I had a perm. That's a funny picture. Wait till you see it. I only share it with family. This is hilarious when he had a Jerry Curl and I had a perm. So all these famous people, what is he going to say? That's all soiled rags. Now my works are holy because I cared. I cared about the youth. I don't want them hurt. Care about my brother that has a hurt sciatic here, or the knee, my brothers and sisters. So I want to share the pearls of wisdom. That's what matters, not if I get in the ring. And I went to the Lord about it. So I had temptation. So when I come to maturity enough in obedience, I know this will be straightened out, because then I won't go into that. And I have many more things to do to serve before I get to go home. So I want to encourage you, if you've been contracted, you've been saved to Yehovah's service, His plan, focus on understanding who He is, how much He loves you. Because I can't comprehend someone being injured next to me. Stan was just here, and I have a love for him to be healed. And Yehovah already showed how much, and He loves him far more. So it's not about if someone cares about you, but seek the wisdom. It is written on the foundation that is laid by Yeshua HaMashiach, what we build on it. Familiar with the scripture there? So the foundation is there. You're saved. What are you building on that? Wood, straw, and hay? Or gold, silver, and precious gems? Christian karate? Christian Taekwondo, or Israeli Krav Maga from Israel, from Adonai, who gave it? The martial arts is the counterfeit. I know. No one's arguing with me because I have my resume. What did God give Israel? Krav Maga. Close combat? Not the martial arts. But who is closer in your life than Yehovah Himself, who resides in the Holy Spirit, the temple? So, understand, when you're building things, are you going to the next infomercial and buying that equipment, and then your treadmill's there, and then you're tired, and then you hang your shirt on it? Oh yeah, see, everybody laughs because people do it. The next abdominizer 1000, and it's, you know, you bought that because you want to be healthy. And you know, some people, I say this word, I'm going to say a word that's nasty to some people, and some it's a blessing. It's amazing. I'm going to say it. Ready? Fitness. And some people are traumatized. Oh, I got a fitness program for you. I might as well pull this out right in front of their face. Because they got hurt in jazzercise. Oh, you get one of them aerobics instructors that's really in shape, and you had a car wreck 2 years earlier, and you're starting to get into it, and they're pushing you, and you're going, and one, and two, come on, and this hurts. And they say, come on, push yourself. You don't stop the class and say, well, I was in a car wreck 2 years ago. You feel this peer pressure to do beyond what you're comfortable, and that's it. So they're not there to care for you. That's not true. But if you notice in my classes, who took a class that I taught? Okay? Comfort. You could at any time step out if it's too hard. It was uneven ground. You know, it was a basic class. But if you had injuries, you could be on the sideline and doing the things and do your offering to Yehovah, right? You had no peer pressure. But then I could see in their hearts they want to be in. But they don't want to blow their knee out. That's fine. Lee and I, you know Lee over there, Brother Lee, we did the ropes course. Where was that at? YWAM. You know, 20 feet up in the trees and you're going through these things and all that. And I'm like, oh, man. Like this, and you got the harness. It's physical activity, right? So I didn't want to get injured, but I went in faith, and we did that. It was great team building. But I did that on Thursday. Yesterday, I was exhausted. So I'm recovering, but I peaked today because I healed up. So that's an athletic mindset. So what are you doing when you're training? So let's go over some basics here. Is it okay to put a chair on the dance floor, or shall we? That sounds like a song. Okay, is it okay to put it here? All right. All right, let's have anybody here with an injured shoulder? Shoulders. If you feel led, there's no pressure. You come on up. All right. How you doing, sir? Other than the injury. Pleasure to meet you. Left shoulder?
Yeah, I have a modified Bristo with a 6-inch.
Okay. Yeah. Have a seat here. All right. Now, your name?
Dwayne.
We never met before this, right? So, what I want to do is establish the comfort. Dwayne, you're not to do anything you're not comfortable with. I don't know the depths of his injury, but I tell you this. I trained, with what I'm about to do with you, I trained Renata Kaufman, a Holocaust survivor. When she was young, she was in the Holocaust. Her father went to the prison camps. She got sent to her aunt, the evil aunt, and she was beaten. You know those giant wooden spoons for those old school big stirring pots that were, like, I don't know, cleaning, making soap or, you know, doing the laundry, I don't know. But those giant heavy ones. So she was beaten across her spine with that, broken up and down. She filled out the forms I have for my company called Daily Care Fitness. And the injury list is usually a page and then the back, right? So I had 3 pages of her. I looked at that and I got scared. Who would like to train Renata Kaufman with her spine broken from top to bottom? And I said, God, help me. I'm scared to train her. And he said, have no worries. You're not. Just shut your mouth. And that's the truth. You bridle your tongue, right? So in the season that the Holy Spirit will speak through it. She sits there. So I don't know a shoulder injury. It's the right one?
Left.
Okay, we got left shoulder injury. Okay, just feet are planted, 3 points. Here, and if you're able, you know, you sit up straight with a good posture from the chair, away from it, or if he's not comfortable. Okay, so he's got 3 points. If he wants to, he can scoot back in the chair and put his back on the chair. So what you're going to do is put your hands at your sides. We're going to do curls and bring your feet in a little bit. All right? Does everybody know the scale system in the hospital? 0 to 10 pain scale. On a scale of 0 to 10, 0 being 0, no pain, 1 being the least, 10 being the worst pain you've ever done. So every movement we're going to do, one more time, your name?
Dwayne.
Every movement we're going to do, I'm going to use that scale. So I want you to curl. Imagine you have weights and don't move your body. Just curl 3 times. Exhale. Say pull. Pull. And this is the exhale and pull. Good. On a scale of 1 to 10, was there any pain? No pain. So he's got an exercise he can fully do. Go ahead, relax. Now, no weights. We're going to go as high as you can with comfort. And if you're able to just go like this, any kind of like a shoulder press, then we do that. And you go slow. And if you have to stop within the 3 reps, then you just stop and you say, Coach, that's enough. So let's press and press. We say the word. Press and press. Come back down on a scale of 1 to 10.
1.
That was painful of 1 here? Okay. We're going to do, imagine, we're going to do the shoulder fly. So imagine you have weights, making sure the elbow's above the wrist. And we're going to do the shoulder fly to this range. Make sure you don't crunch your shoulders. And exhale. Go ahead. 1, 2, and 3. Good. Okay. So just your breathing. Do that on a scale of 1 to 10. Relax.
No
pain for that movement, okay? So what did we do? I don't know his injury, right? But he does have an injury. He has 3 exercises he can do, depending on the weight, that will cause blood flow to this area, the left shoulder. When he did his biceps, the heart pumps, where's the blood have to go through? The shoulder. He was doing 2 shoulder exercises. So we don't know. We don't know the depths of the injury. I could counsel with him, learn the most of it. But we have 3 exercises he can do while he's on the sideline. But guess what? Renata Kaufman could not do this. This was an 8 or 9, coach. We put that into I can't do it yet list. This was a 2 or 3. Which one should she do? The one that causes her 8 or 9 pain or the 2 or 3 pain? So we started. Curls she could do. 1 month later she could do this. So she starts getting better as an athlete. I didn't see someone that was, I didn't ask her name. You know, I'm a gentleman. I don't ask ladies their name. But she was in World War II. So she has a certain age and she has a lot of injuries. So she is an athlete, right? Right here. Is that just for someone under 50? That scripture? Is that your inheritance? Say it in Hebrew. Yes. Okay. So you have an inheritance. You have 3 exercises. Now, if you keep doing it, what is in the blood? Life. Not death. So scientific fact is all around us. I know. I work in the hospital. And it's great that when you understand the factual things, because all the facts, if they are truly factual, it'll be in here. Circulation is a fact. Blood circulation is great for you, right? That's fact. What's the truth? Life is in the blood. They got that fact from the truth. So that supersedes the fact. Okay? How does the life get into the bloodstream? Word, breath of life as Yehovah breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of Adam. This is a filter if you ever had to clean your nose out. That's where we get all these other filters, okay? So, understand, breath of life, when he was breathing, we said, press. Right? The timing of your breath, unless you're a professional power lifter, if you're lifting stuff and holding it, you can get dizzy. Timing, okay? So when he's doing all these exercises, he has to find out what's working. That's what they do with pro athletes. The rules of the human body is not to make this work worse, but to make him stronger and uplifted and training until he fully recovers. Okay? So now you have 3 movements. If you grab weight and you were doing the shoulder press and you're coming too far down and you feel it in your neck, is that too low? Impingement? Did God create the nervous system? He's telling you all this can be fully restored with wisdom. How many scriptures on wisdom, knowledge, and understanding? There's entire chapters. And he's yelling at you. Go seek her. Go get it. He's yelling at you. I'm in the hospital. I'm asking 10,000 questions about a patient. Why are they like that? Why is this person like this? Not to judge them, but to understand how they got like that. Then I learned in the generational curses to just not walking right with a light on so you fall in a pit, you know, or being in a rush when you're preaching and you slip and fall or something, or you're doing some work and you need to slow down, okay? Or being prepared. We needed to train before the ropes course. I said I worked my legs, right? Or I rested because it's Sukkot. I had to rest. It was fun, but I had to rest after that. So then I rested for the ropes course, but I prepared as an athlete. All right, give them a round of applause. Okay, we're going to do that with everybody sitting down. So make sure you got space and you are comfortable to do anything because you are not made to do anything. You don't have to. You understand? Make sure you got room. Okay. Basic principles of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Ecclesiastes says, wisdom is the excellence of knowledge that gives life. Okay? So it has to give life. A lot of people are very intelligent, but we want wisdom. Now, the youth that don't have injuries, or if you do, we'd rather you not have an injury to pray over, but it's both, okay? You accidentally get hurt, it's still covered, right, under the plan. Now, what we do is we always create a safe base, and we understand how the body is. If I'm very tall and I'm sitting down, and this chair's too low then, and it's causing my back to turn. Structural integrity, when you build upon a foundation, who here does construction? Okay? So if the floor, the foundation is off, everything is off on top, right? So the way you stand, if you're like this, you like to lean like that, it doesn't bother you when you're 20. But what if you favored that left leg for 50 years? Why do I have this hip problem? My father, I learned this when I was 15. He comes back from the doctor about his back, and he says, he's carrying his wallet, which is like that, in his front pocket, and it changed. And he said, I said, why are you doing that, Dad? He said, well, the doctor taught me that it displaces my hip when I sit down in the car or anywhere this much. And he's like, at that time, in his 50s. But the body is built resilient and strong. Okay? The warranty on the body is for the rest of your life. It should be until you're 80 with strength, as the scriptures say. So just that little bit. But why did he only realize that when he's 50? A lack of knowledge. So understand the way you do things. Why does my elbow hurt? And then you're vacuuming, you're always washing, and you're overworking this, you're playing sports one-handed, ambidextrous. So always have that firm foundation. Your feet are spread, and you start off with your back in alignment. Okay? There's a natural curve. If you have injuries, then you lean on a comfortable chair. Make sure you're comfortable and you do this. So what we're going to do is we're going to give an offering today. We give praise offerings, right? Financial offerings. We're going to give an offering of blood to God. Okay? We're going to offer up our movement, what we can do, and he's going to multiply that. What we're going to do is if you're able, if you have an injury on your left side, I want you to do it on your right. Okay? We're going to do right arms. And we're going to just do this shoulder rotation, but we're going to get fired up. Okay? When I say Mukhanim, you say, okay, Mukhanim? How many know how to count to three in Hebrew? Okay, we're going to learn how to count to three in Hebrew. That's part of Hebrew roots. Okay? Just repeat after me. Achat, with a T, not Echad. Achat. Shtaim. Shalosh. One more time. Achat.
And wage garnishments, plus these companies.
Shalosh. And if you ever hear Hebrew, all you have to do, or any language, you don't know the word, just say it right after, softly, after the instructor. It'll cause you to learn it faster. So, we're going to do right shoulder shrugs forward. Mochanim. And achat. Shtaim. Shalosh. Again. Achat. Shtaim. Shalosh. Again. Achat. Shtaim. Shalosh. Make sure your feet are down. Left arm. And if you have to go slower, you're going to give your offering, right? If I'm going one, two.
Your Hebrew Nation radio station, AM 1220.
Mochanim. Oh, come on. You got to cry out to heaven. Mochanim. Achat. Shtaim. Shalosh. Achat. Shtaim. Shalosh. Achat. Shtaim. Shalosh. Very good. Right shoulder circles backwards. Mukhanim. Achat. Shtaim. Shalosh. Achat. Shtaim. Shalosh. Achat. Shtaim. Shalosh. Very good. And left arm. Begin. Achat. Shtaim. Shalosh. Achat. Shtaim, shalosh, achat, shtaim, shalosh, and relax. And if you're not miraculously healed, the worst you did is learn how to count to three in Hebrew. But this is the thing. You're making the effort to go to God, seek Him. How many scriptures does it say, pick up your mat and walk? They had to do that. Made the mud paste on the eyes. Go to the pool of Siloam and rinse them. Elijah said to the servant to tell the head of the chief of the guard, royal guard, that had leprosy, dunk your head seven times. Not 6.5, not 8, 7. Be obedient. Jehovah is going to bless it. I know this. Okay, when I went and I crashed on the scooter and I was driving 35 miles an hour. The scriptures weren't fulfilled when it said, soar of wings of eagles. I flew and I hit. And I hit here, pinky fingernails hanging by a string. Oh, yeah, that was gross. Then I cried out, and I was in unforgiveness still 4 years ago. Saved, but I didn't honor my mother and father. And I repented in front of strangers. that said, we need to get you to the hospital. And I said, I got on my knees in front of them, and I said, I have to say this first before we go. God, I repent for dishonoring my mother and father. I forgive them, and I want to be right with you. And they looked at me, hallelujah, right? With my arm broken, fingernail. And they said, he's got a concussion. And I did, but I was still right with God. They took me there. Everybody gathered around. My adrenaline was so high, I didn't feel it. Blood coming down. They put the old fingernail back in and put it under the flap so it'll grow straight. And I didn't know it was some new kind of technique. And everybody gathered around me, so they're watching it. They're like, oh, wow, I've never seen that. I'm just numbed up. And they gave me Vicodin. They x-rayed this. I didn't know my shoulder was impacted. Till the next day, I go there and I wake up and I have to go to the bathroom. And the Vicodin wore off and I went like this. And I literally shed a tear. And I went back. And I put a pillow, and everything hurt. It hurt so bad. Oh, man, for weeks. So being able to use 30s and 40s to press down to, I can't do that, right? But I didn't even go to physical therapy. I had the Holy Spirit rehabilitate my shoulder that you can see. And it was humbling to grab the 2-pound pink weights and go here. And I went through that. And you know how I knew when to stop? Humbling. And I went there, and when did I stop? When the pain was too much, I stopped. That's good work today. I offered that. Then went to fives and tens, and I did this, and there was little kinks, and I just kept going. So I didn't instantly get healed, but that blood flow, and I didn't put myself above God. I just said, whatever you want. And now I can give that testimony. If you have a frozen shoulder or an injury or, you know, you don't believe that it can be healed, there's miracles involved in that. I know this got miraculously healed beyond what I did. Beyond it. Because I've done people that had strokes, even believers at the gym when I was a personal trainer, and they're falling like this. I'm like, oh, man, what do I do? And I start praying, and they get instantly healed. This droopy eye went straight. The left, right leg went straight. And I'm freaking out. And I go to the sales department that's in the aquarium bubble. And they saw him, they're secular, and he's healed. And I said, he got healed. You see that? He was walking in like this, and his eye was droopy because they told me he had a stroke a year ago. And I said, he's healed. Did you see that? And they're like, oh, nice. And I was like, are you kidding me? And I flip out, and I run out of there. I was like, whatever, you guys don't know. So understand that he got miraculously healed, but he was doing these squats. He was doing these movements. He picked up his mat and walked. He washed his eyes out. He dunked his head 7 times. He was obedient. I'm not saying it has to be through a specific person. You have the Holy Spirit in you. The difference between what we did in the Old Covenant is King David had the Holy Spirit. They listened. Moshe, they listened. We all have the Ruach HaKodesh. If you have that teacher, you have the same teacher as me. I'm here to encourage you and exhort you. And we're a team. I may be the coach today, but Dave's the coach tomorrow. Don's the coach. But we are a team, and we're going to get healed up, strong. And even in the end times, the weakest shall be as David. Amen. So go home or whatever and make sure when you're with Yehovah, you are doing things in accordance with the truth and not fact. Because it may be a fact that at a certain age, you get fear, like 50 or something like that. I'm looking forward to 50. And the word old is not a bad word. And I've had to correct a lot of secular people and believers that gray, a hoary head, that's right, is a blessing. And understand this. Understand the ages in there. How King David, I wouldn't want to fight him at 70. You know, he was incredible till then. But understand your inheritance with Yehovah. And go back to the scripture. Let's read that one more time. And also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. So the rules are this. Yehovah's word is true. The wisdom of this world is foolish. Proclaim yourself a fool unto God so that you may be wise. I literally did that. And I'm going to lead you in that if you want to participate. I'm not saying anything other than this. I don't know anything unless God teaches me. Why would you listen to a man that trained with the highest level of what the world has to do? And I asked God this. I did everything my instructor said. Why did I get crippled? And he said this. Because they're fools. Amen. All right? So, be led. Be careful. Comfortable. If it's heavier than a heavy burden, then it's not of God. Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Keep seeking it. Get back in the game if you're on the sideline. That's fine. We've all been there. We get sidetracked. But keep, if you stumble, you're not going to fall. But keep that hope, that faith in that the truth is here. And don't conform to the ways of the world. Okay? And just keep fighting the good fight of faith. Okay? Let's pray. Yehovah, you have blessed me with these things that have, your word that has healed me miraculously and been a healing to me. I pray that us as a body understand the truth that is in you, that how much you love us, that the love that I express today doesn't even compare, that it comes from you, that it still doesn't compare to everything you are, that you put your son, Yeshua HaMashiach, who in his English name, Jesus the Christ, died on the cross for us, that blood, and we give our offering daily to be encouraged, that no demonic force of depression and disunity, that we're a team. There may be disagreements, but as long as we agree that there is revelation to from Genesis, that's your word, and that Yeshua is the Messiah, that we're in agreement. And we want to seek more of your word, but we have to remember who you are and how much you love us. That we're not just saved by grace, that after that, the miracles stop. Every day is a miracle with you, and I encourage my brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, that forever until our last breath, when our work is done, that we are favored by you and valuable. Amen.
Amen.
So thank you for your time.
Amen. All right. Well, let me ask you, Ron. We have a midrash from 1:30 to 3, and if people would like to stay around, do you have more you'd like to teach after?
Oh, there's a soldier.
There's a soldier. So if some of you want to stay around at 3 o'clock for the second part, good. Yes, I want to see some hands because we've got to tell the radio. All right, good. I wanted to say so. We'll plan on 3 o'clock continuing on with the next teaching about the soldiers.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, we're going to take a break on the radio. Caleb, if you could put some music on for a few minutes, Roland will be back and we'll be going with Bereshit. Right? 1 through 6, Genesis. So, radio audience, get your Bible out and get ready for that. And I'll open up, somebody remind me, I'll open up a chat room. And if you want to participate on the internet, you can do it there too. And that'll be at HebrewNation.net. There are snacks in the other room. And Brother David's going to bless the food right now.
I will thank you, oh Lord.